It is 7:20 in the morning on October 12th, 2016. I'm sitting on our porch on the steps here in Hyderabad, and I wanted to capture the just terrible weakness and mistake that I made last night, and capture how the enemy always attacks me right at his fiercest when I'm getting ready to tell, you know, some new story about his faithfulness in my life. Yesterday was the 11th. For 2 days I've been trying to, previous to today, I've been trying to create an intro video for this new series, From There to Here. I got weary a few weeks ago from constantly having to talk to people about their sin, and they can't get out of sin, or God won't give them what they want, or, you know, why is God not fair, and so forth and so on, and just struggling with people's lack of wisdom, and I wanted to press into, all right, let's start moving into growing in maturity in Christ. Let's leave behind these elementary teachings and move on into learning how to walk with God. So I've been very excited about this project, using my journal entries over the last 7 years, so people could not hear me tell a story of what happened, but they could actually experience it real time. So I've had all kinds of challenges. The first time we recorded it, we went out on the street and recorded it, and the sound was terrible. The audio mic was clipping. Got home, put it together, found out it's not even usable. Last night we spent all this time rigging up some way to hold my camera and a light, and recorded the whole thing and forgot to change the setting on the camera, and so the white balance is correcting itself every time my hand comes into view, and picture is color is changing, and I was very frustrated. And so then I was sitting down at my computer getting ready to look at some recordings, and I thought about the story video that I had made of Persis and I when I came to the journey to India. And this has been one of my biggest, absolutely my biggest challenge with in my marriage so far, is Persis has become very sensitive to the idea of telling the story about our marriage and how great it is, because she comes from a land where everybody is pagan, unbelieving, godless people, and they put such huge emphasis on marriage. And she has 4 siblings who have never married. So she has this huge pressure on her. She married out of order. She got a Christian guy. And she's very happy. And she has this tremendous resistance. It's out of balance. It's like Zach Poonen teaching about money or divorce. So she's out of balance, in my opinion, on this. And we dealt with it, I'd say probably 2 months ago it came up, and I didn't understand it, why she didn't want to tell the story, why she was so reluctant to tell that she's happily married to me, and what God had done for her in that way, and she just almost can't testify to it, and got mad that I had put that video on YouTube. Actually, she was in agreement with me at first, but then she would tell me later that she's not in agreement with it, it doesn't tell the right story, and that it leaves out the part where she found this gratefulness in Christ. And that she didn't need a man, which is, I finally came into agreement with. I understood her point and said, okay, I understand what you're saying. I get it. You know, I understand it. So let's tell the story first. So we did. We spent plenty of time telling the story about, you know, her ex. So we've got, you know, 2 hours of the video of her talking about her desire for love and Prince Charming and this and that and the other, and I'm always been having dreams about this guy. She's having dreams about him. I mean, it's been very difficult for me sometimes. I finally had to tell her, okay, if the dream that you had doesn't edify our marriage or me, just don't even tell me about it. You know, and so we got through those things. You know, God helped us. He gave us the grace. Well, last night I came across that video again, and I'm thinking, man, we've got this footage. I put it together. It's an incredible story. I started thinking about, okay, maybe we can retell it and add a few parts to satisfy Persis. And we got to a point where she quietly spoke that, no, I don't want a part of telling that story. You can just tell it. And immediately, I mean, it was late at night. I'd already been frustrated. Indignation just came into my heart, resentment. And I told her, I'm starting to have resentment towards you for this. And I got angry. And I pushed my computer away. And for the first time ever, I cussed. And I said, I'm tired of, we can talk about all this effing Santosh thing, but we can't even dare mention the fact that God's given you a new husband. And I've been very angry about it. I feel like it's almost on borderline unfaithfulness. I feel like it'd be almost like if the bride of Christ didn't want to acknowledge Jesus. And somehow or another, I'm stuck between what part of this is selfish thinking, me wanting honor for myself. What part of this is she right about, that, you know, there shouldn't be this emphasis put on the marriage, but at the same time, are we not called to go and tell all that God has done for us in our life? And has this not been such a huge part of my story? I realize it's maybe not something she wants to be a part of her story, but for me, I've been waiting, and I've long before I ever even knew her, I've spent thousands of miles walking in those woods talking to God about my future wife, and God gave me a promise for one. And so now it almost feels like I can't even talk about it, the thing that God has done for me, and that He gave me such a great wife who loves me and is happy with me. It's like she won't testify that she's so happy with me, and it makes me bitter. It makes me angry inside. And I went and laid my face on the floor last night, and she's such an amazing woman. I love her so much. But this part is really, really causing me grief. And, you know, she went to her room last night and prayed, and I went to another room and prayed, and I could just feel the anger in my heart over this. Like, it almost feels like rejection. It feels like, you know, a wife not honoring her husband, and a wife not honoring the God who gave her the husband. And I know she doesn't see it that way. She sees it the other way. And I've been trying to say, okay, Lord, am I seeing this wrong? You know, I'm trying to compare, how would Jesus feel if I didn't want to tell anybody about Him, but I only wanted to say about my relationship with the Father. But Jesus was the way to the relationship with the Father. And, you know, God used me in an instrumental way to help Persis at a certain time, and it's almost like that's been forgotten about. And I'm just trying to wait upon the Lord. Like, is this me? Is He killing off a deeper root of desire for honoring myself? You know, or is this that feeling that I'm supposed to feel when a wife doesn't want to acknowledge her husband? You know, whoever acknowledges me. Jesus teaches this principle. So we went to bed last night, kissing, making up kind of thing, and I'm so glad we didn't go to bed angry at each other. But man, I woke up this morning and it's right back on me again. And the timing of this, I know it's all spiritual in nature. So I have these choices of, you know, I don't want to manipulate. I'm trying so hard not to, you know, change my behavior and try to sway her to my way of thinking. Instead, I want to trust God and have God show me, is my thinking wrong on this? You know, the Bible says those who are married should live as if they're not anymore, because the days are short. And this is exactly what that's like. It's like living married as if though I'm not. And, you know, Jesus said, wherever I am, my servant must be. And whoever serves me, my Father will honor. You know, maybe I'm looking to get too much honor from my wife in this way, and God has already honored me so much. I mean, I get emails every day, people honoring the work that God is doing in my life. Maybe I just need to settle for that. And I'm really operating on feelings right now. It doesn't feel good at all. I hate it. And I know God will help me get through it. And I just put my eyes back on the promises that He's made an everlasting covenant with me, secured and arranged in every part. And I have to just trust Him, either to move on her heart, to change her heart and her way of thinking, or to move on my heart and change my heart and way of thinking. I think I don't fully understand and have enough discernment at this point to know, you know, why am I feeling so angry about this? Why, you know, is this Jesus how he feels when his bride doesn't acknowledge him. But I understand my wife's point as well, that, you know, she doesn't want to place emphasis on women thinking that marriage is the answer. But I think she's gone to an extreme. I think we've already made it clear that God is the answer. Both of us have. But now it feels like she doesn't want to testify to what God has indeed done for her, because it was in alignment with his will. And I think at the end of the day, I'm the most hurt, because it's something that I waited for so long. So it's almost like it's robbing me of the testimony of God in my life. That's the way I feel. And then it does feel very wrong when a woman is so willing to speak about her ex openly and call him Prince Charming and how much she loved him and so forth and so on, and she'll never admit now to the love that she has for her husband. It's very hurtful, and won't talk about how wonderful what God has done to give this marriage like this, and so I'm hurt. It's now 10:35 in the morning. I'm actually going for a walk by myself this morning, and this is just an update on what's been going on. Persis just came this morning, sat down, and after she saw the email that I had sent to Jared saying please pray for us, we're having some grief in this area about telling our story, we have a different opinion on how it should be done, she came and apologized. That she said, I'm sorry that our testimonies are different and that our way of sharing it, you know, is in conflict with one another. And she basically makes the point that the desire for marriage was a bondage to her for 10 years, which this is obviously something I'm aware of now, having told her story. But she keeps, you know, adamantly stating that it was a major stumbling block to her, and she cannot testify. Her story is not that marriage was her savior. God was, which I completely understand. I've obviously not ever tried to say that marriage was even my savior. I mean, God I found in fullness before I found marriage. So she said that she does not mind if I tell my testimony, because we have different testimonies. You know, mine is that I was waiting for a partner and God gave me a promise, and she said, you know, God didn't give me a promise for a spouse. So she makes a really good point there, that it's not like God came to her and told her that. So we do definitely have different testimonies, and perhaps God has allowed it to be that way for a reason, because he knows that so many women desire a man, and they want the man more than they want the father. So maybe God is not interested in having a testimony about, from Persis, about how God provided me to her. But what I've been interpreting this as is that Persis has wanted me to take a giant eraser and erase that part of my testimony and that part of her testimony, like almost to ignore the fact that God indeed did all these things he did to bring us together, and that he did make her happy. She is happy in our marriage, and she has stated many times. And I said, wow, I feel like this is almost hypocrisy, that you want to be happy with me, but you won't tell anybody else about how happy you are in your marriage because you're afraid it's going to cause them to stumble. And I say, now, isn't that robbing God of his glory? So I haven't had a word from God on this. I did read the scripture this morning that those who are married should live as if they're not. Those who have wives should live as if they don't. And I understand what he's saying. I understand what she's saying, or what the word is saying. But I am really just confused about, you know, the fact that God has given me this amazing testimony where I waited for so long for God's best. I told Persis, I said, it seems to me it'd be like telling Isaac or telling Abraham to take a big eraser to Isaac and just only tell the story of Abraham, Hagar and Ishmael. In other words, just to put a eraser to Ishmael, because Ishmael wasn't a promise given to everybody. And she said, well, I have to go with what I see is in the new covenant. And I don't see promises for marriage and so forth and so on and all that. So I think, again, I believe and know that Persis is out of balance on this message because the culture that she comes from is seriously out of balance. So in order to correct the out of balance thinking, she's having to think out of balance to the other side. It's exactly like how Zach Poonen teaches on people who earn money in ministry and divorce. He's out of balance on those two issues, in my opinion, because his culture is tremendously out of balance. So I have to give grace there and understand that I can't understand that. I cannot empathize with Persis on that, and I don't necessarily need to. I have to trust her. So, and trust God, more importantly. And that's the other message that I feel like the Lord showed me was, I was thinking of Psalm 37:7 and verse 8. It says, do not fret. It leads only to anger. You know, it's like refrain from anger and avoid wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. And I think, wow, that's exactly what happened last night, fretting, to be overly worried and anxious. And last night, I was overly worried and anxious about this. It caught me when I was tired. And so I sinned in my fretting by saying a cuss word and walking away in anger from my wife. And now, I didn't cuss at her. I cussed about her ex. I was so frustrated. I said, so I guess I have to listen to all these videos about effing Santosh, but not a single word is mentioned about me. You know, I mean, I told her how frustrating that is for me to have 2 hours worth of her talking about her desire and love for Prince Charming. Although she does say that, you know, God saved her from it, but still to hear her talk about that and then never to be able to once say, you know, that she loves me and that she is happy with me and she's pleased with me and to honor me in no way. And so basically, I'm like, wow, okay, Lord, I don't want to manipulate the circumstances, and I'm trying so hard this morning not to treat her any differently. I'm very subdued, and when she brought it up, I said, look, I shared basically what I've shared so far. And then I said, look, let's just leave this alone. I need to let this die. And so I said, please just give me some time to grieve. I need to grieve the loss. I said, you know, just try to put yourself in my shoes. I said, I lived for 5.5 years with a promise from God that I would, in fact, be married again. And then I lived for 3.5 years with a specific promise that it was going to happen, and then avoiding all the temptations, avoiding all the saving myself, the devil's best, my best, other people's best. I resisted and denied myself for all those times. And I told her, I said, you know, this, imagine that this is not going to just die in a short period of time. It's going to take me some time to do this, to die to this. And I don't want to force her. And she's wondering, you know, are you doing this for God's glory or for your glory? Do you need me to testify about you? And so I said, no, I'm doing it for God's glory, but I feel like you're asking me to erase a part of the story of my life. And maybe there is a part of me that wants to be honored by my wife still. Maybe there's that deep desire, like where it says, wives, respect your husbands. I believe that I have that desire inside of me. And it's not a pressing desire. It's not an everyday desire. It's rarely do I think about it. It's just, I think to myself, who would not want to tell what God has done? And would I be blessed by it? Of course. It's like saying I'm not blessed when somebody says how God used my videos to bless them. Then I'm not blessed or honored in that. That's God honoring me. Him, not me. I'm not trying to honor myself. So it feels like rejection. You know, it's like it must have something to do with also my ex-wife, because she never wanted to testify. She never had anything good to say. So I feel that it probably has something to do with that, you know, and there's a trigger in there. Now I have this amazing wife, and her testimony and her desire to please God is causing her to not want to put any emphasis at all on the fact that she has a very happy marriage. And I guess I feel like that's robbing me somehow, you know, like that's making me feel, I guess, dishonored in that way. And then, of course, there's also a desire for me to honor God, without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, I don't know. So basically, what I'm feeling now is that I need to, the Bible says in John, I believe it's 3:27, a man can receive only that which is given him from heaven. So God is allowing me to be denied in this way, and I have to be willing to take up my cross and deny myself. I don't want to force persist through changing my behavior or being sad or trying to manipulate or being angry. I don't want to do any of that. And I need to go back. The Bible, speaking of not fretting, tells me instead what the opposite of fret is to trust God. To not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, submit your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I need to do that. And it's hard. I told Persis this morning, I said, sweetheart, I love you. It may not feel like it so much the rest of the day, but I love you and I'm grieving. And I need to grieve this. I need to let this part of me die. So please just allow me. And I'm trying so hard. I told her I'm trying so hard to not resent her for it. I don't want to resent her. I want to see it from God's perspective. And if I truly trust God, it's so easy for me to trust God in many other ways. This is an area that it's a little bit more difficult, because it's kind of a gray area. And I could easily make a case biblically where she should want to honor the Lord's testimony in her life and in our marriage and honor me as her husband. I could make all kinds of scriptures, but at the end of the day, I could end up being using scripture to manipulate a work in God's heart that only he can do. Maybe he does want her to testify one day, but not now. You know, and maybe God knows this is good for me. Maybe this is another thing that God wants me to, it's a way of him helping me hold my marriage loosely, instead of trying to hold on to it. Maybe by my trying to squeeze some honor out of it is like me trying to hold on to it. So I know the Lord will help me, and I don't like the way it feels in my heart today. It's heavy and it hurts. It's that grieving that you feel that's so uncomfortable. But I know that God will help me get through this, as he has with every single challenge and difficulty that I have ever faced. My Father is amazingly faithful, and he will indeed bless me. So he will indeed bless me. On a funny note, although I'm in a place right now where there's not very many people, I'm walking through the railway quarters, walking parks on the street, and it's fun to be able to speak about such transparent things like this, because nobody here understands my language. So I can talk just openly, and very few people will understand enough about what I'm saying. So, anyhow, my heart has been heavy. It feels like a bruise. But I know that God will help me get through this, and I need to deny myself, and I need to remember that I'm working for heavenly rewards. My wife is so amazing in revelation on the difference between building an earthly kingdom versus heavenly kingdom. And you know, I really should be thankful that I have a wife who is not so wrapped up in the earthly kingdom and in her marriage. I mean, that could actually end up doing me more harm than it does good. Oh, what a cute little puppy. Eating like throw up. These dogs are eating just the nastiest stuff. Little dogs laying on the little street dogs. Ugh, it's terrible. So, I am very thankful that God has always given me grace to go through these difficult times. So, I know He'll help me with this one. May it be to me according to my faith, and even more. May it be to me according to the grace of God. Wow, I just finished making that recording, and I'm walking down a street, and I was appending the recordings to each other from the one I made this morning, and these police guys pulled up in front of me, and actually here they come again, these three policemen. And they were asking me, what is your good name, and so forth and so on. They're waving at me right now. And, you know, the police here are known to be very corrupt. And I told them where I was from and asked them if they've ever been to the U.S. And, of course, the first thing he says is, no, we don't have the money to go to the U.S. You guys have all the money. And he's rubbing his fingers together. And there's three police officers in this one car. And I said, oh, you know, America's not as good as you think it is anymore. And the economy's bad, so forth and so on. I was trying to think, you know, you never can tell when they might be trying to get a bribe. And I'm out here with no identification. And just walking all by myself. It was kind of weird. But they were all very nice. Shook my hands, asked me, what is your good name, sir? I said, Michael. His name was Anand. Anand. I said, oh my goodness, that's my wife's father's name. So, from Guntagal. But they all were very nice and they walked away. So that was pretty neat. It's 11:02 and here is another interesting update. I was just walking around the corner on my walk here and I'm still praying about this, and God help me to see it the way you see it, and Father, help both of our hearts be pure and right in accordance with the Spirit on this. And just then, as I'm praying, a guy comes by on a moped, and the license plate is 9555. And at first, the 555 catches my glimpse, you know, deliverance. I've been asking God to deliver me from this, you know, this torment that I've been having in my heart over this, and to help me. And then I realized the 9:55, and I feel like what the Spirit moved me to understand, 9:55, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. And then I started to think to myself, a crown does not have to speak with a voice and point down to the one who is wearing it and proclaim the praises and honor of the one who's wearing it. You can't even imagine a king wearing a crown and the crown is having to speak up with a voice to give honor to the king. No, the crown itself, without saying a word. Wow, I think God just gave me this amazing revelation. This is another... Oh God, let it be in Jesus' name. Another amazing revelation God gave me, like when I was struggling in the past with the fact that my wife was telling all these stories about her ex, and then she would have dreams where he's still in them, so forth and so on, and I would get frustrated and feel discouraged. And she would always talk about, you know, how in love she was with him. And of course, she always teaches that it was wrong, that it was a very carnal, worldly, prisoner type love. But, you know, to hear, you know, somebody testify about that, especially when it's your spouse testifying about a past spouse, that is really uncomfortable to hear. So I needed lots of grace, and I'd constantly ask God for the grace, and He'd give it. And then one day, I started having these tormenting thoughts that came. I had some of my own thoughts. Then Persis had another dream, and it was like icing on the cake. I was like a camel straw that breaks the camel's back. And I'm like, I can't do this, God. I need help. And I cried out, and it's like all of a sudden, I felt the Spirit say, you don't need her to love you like she loved Santosh. You only need her to love... You don't need her to love you like she loved her ex. You only need her to love you the way I have called her to love you. And I found this just rest, like, it's almost like I was going to God and complaining about, hang on a second, what if she doesn't have that same level of passion and love for me? And it's like God was saying to me, are you okay to receive from her that which I've enabled her to give you? Or do you want something different than that which I've given you? And I tell you, it just set me free. And all of a sudden, it's like, God helped gave me, He gave me rest, that I could just rest in the fact that He's going to give her the capacity to love me the way He wants her to love me, not the way I necessarily want, and I should trust in His gift of love for her, through her. And so it just set me free, and now I'm sitting here realizing, wow, I don't need my crown to speak out and testify with her mouth that I'm anything noble or great or honorable or anything like that. The crown itself does this. Just trust God. The wife of noble character is her husband's crown. She does not have to praise him and do all these things. And wow, man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. May it be that God just set me free in this. In Jesus' name.